My name is Roger Smith, and this is part one of a two-part interview with Associate Professor Janet Muir, who teaches courses in political communication and rhetoric and has written several articles on presidential campaigns and political activism. Her courses tend to be highly interactive, from taking students to New Hampshire to follow presidential candidate campaigns, to involving them in convention planning for major conferences. She also facilitated a course on intergenerational dialogues that paired undergrad GMU students with students from the Learning and Retirement Institute at GMU. Dr. Muir has received a GMU Teaching Excellence Award. She is a C-SPAN Fellow, past president of the Eastern Communication Association, and is actively involved in both the National Communication Association and the American Association of Higher Education. I started off the interview asking her for some kind of a description of how you would describe the typical voter who is in college or in the 18 to 29-year-old age bracket.
You know, one possibility might be just agnostic, that in the sense that a lot of students are very busy with their lives, trying to get through school, jobs, relationships, that it's not that they are apathetic. They are just unaware in many ways. And once they gain some awareness, then they begin to have a deeper understanding of why getting engaged in politics and voting is so important. Sometimes it's just a lack of awareness, a lack of not having really had to think about it before. I don't think that we necessarily see students as being apathetic. I think that they're just more distracted with other things, that this is not a priority.
Let me introduce you to a New Republic article, Cheryl Russell, the author. It's called The Surprising Trends That Suggest Young People Won't Vote in 2012. This was from February of 2012. She asks, why don't young adults vote? She says the most likely answer is that young adults do not vote because many are still, in a sense, children without adult commitments or responsibilities. Three factors consistently make a difference in voting rates: money, marriage, and home ownership. And all three of those are adult commitments, and this age group, especially 18 to 22, are not in that area. Where do you fall in with that opinion?
Well, I think she's got something there, in the sense that, you know, I have a lot of students who will say, I will think about being a good citizen when I graduate, when I have a job, when I'm married, when I'm raising my own kids, that I feel really busy right now and school is more important or work is more important. That seems to be a general trend. Now, you know, when they get to the point where they're having to think about, you know, how even local and state politics impact things like tuition and curriculum, then they begin to get a little more interested. But, you know, generally I think that a lot of students don't think about these things in the same way. Or if they do, they're often thinking in the ways that their parents did. So if their parents were really politically engaged and, you know, ideologically focused one way or another, they often tend to reflect that, you know, in their thinking, though sometimes they're not quite sure why they're thinking that way or another, other than that's how their family is.
Now you've answered my other question. I'm wondering how much of a family influence has in determining how somebody would vote if a party was going to be involved, either Republican, Democrat, or something else.
I think family and other interpersonal relationships do play a big role. You know, what happens with politics for a lot of people, it's not an area that they want to get involved with. It's sort of like politics and religion go hand in hand. Those are big topic areas that people don't want to focus on. And so when it comes down to how they make a decision about who they're going to vote for, it's going to be a lot about how their family votes or what their friends are thinking about, or maybe, you know, one or two political ads they've seen that they begin to think that characterizes that particular candidate.
The Obama campaign had such an amazing touch to motivate youth to vote in 2008. From what you've read and then your ideas, what did he do that other candidates, Republican or Democrat, have been unable to do to reach this group?
Well, I think that his message about change and hope really resonated for a lot of young people. What they did see with politics was sort of the same old thing. And, you know, coming out of the Bush era and, you know, so much concern about the war at the time, the various wars, there was a lot of worry and a lot of thought that, you know, we need to do some things differently. And Obama was just really very magical in his ability to capture the public imagination about where the United States could go in the future. And I know seeing him at a number of events, he had such a wonderful, charismatic way of capturing attention, and especially working with young people, that, you know, I'm not surprised he had that, especially when you looked at the other candidates in contrast. You know, Hillary Clinton brought in quite a bit of baggage. Many people loved her and thought, you know, it was time for a woman, but she did have, you know, issues that she had to deal with. And so Obama was a fresh candidate. Some people had seen him in the 2004 Democratic National Convention, saw him as an amazing speaker, and I think that played a big role in capturing interest by young people.
You captured two words I was going to explore, charisma. He had it in droves, I can recall. And I think he tapped into idealism of among this age group. I remember the Kony issue, and I've seen the Sudan issue, where I've seen students really get involved in that, that if they see an injustice, they want to correct that. I see a good number of students that we teach are very idealistic in their world sense. And if you can tap into that idealism, that seems to work. Am I on the right track, or is there something else?
Yeah, I think you are. I think that that many students in this day and age really want to make some difference in the world. You know, I've seen trends over the years, and I think that we do have even though students don't see themselves as good citizens, it's something that they aspire to do more of. And many of them want to do good. And even, you know, those who want to go into business are often, you know, looking at social entrepreneurship as one way to do that. That, you know, we have to kind of look at the world in a different way. We're more global than we were even, you know, 8-10 years ago. And I think that does play a lot, this kind of sense of idealism that we can do good and that we can make a difference in our world.
This concludes part one of our interview with Dr. Muir. Part two can also be located on the Mason Votes webpage.